City girl Antonia is preparing to jack in the job, leave the rat race behind and begin an idyllic life in the country. Then again, maybe idyllic isn't quite the word I'm looking for.
This office is an energized environment, Mr. Lippitt told me when I joined the firm. It's like an animal, a sleek animal, modified to cruise the financial jungle and make a killing. Fantastic, Mr. Lippitt, I said. The sheer purpose of it all, thrilling. And I decided then and there to chuck the job as soon as I could and move to the country.
Paradise by Nick Warburton, with Amanda Root, Liz Smith and George Baker.
A delightful 16th century thatched cottage, nestling at the heart of this charming old world village. Exposed beams throughout and many original features. Viewing strongly recommended. Well, of course, a home in paradise. Exactly what I was looking for. So, naturally, I didn't believe a word. In fact, I nearly didn't bother to go and look at it. I mean, at that price, there had to be something wrong with it.
Didn't the agent tell you? I want a quick sale.
Well, yes, he did, but
I'm fed up the place, that's all. They should have told you that. This here's the well, by the way. It don't serve no purpose, so I didn't board it up. You still interested?
Well, yes, I am.
The cottage is through that arch, then. You'll have to move the ivy.
Oh.
A bit tatty, I know. I've been meaning to paint it.
Oh, it really does have roses round the door.
You'll always cut them back.
Oh, I wouldn't want to, Mr. Ferguson.
They'll snag you if you don't watch them.
All the same.
I'd have had an out if it was up to me.
Up to you? I thought you were... I mean, aren't you on your own here?
Mm. You want to stay inside?
Oh.
Watch out for that beam. I painted him yellow, but he can still nap you one if you ain't careful.
Beautiful, Mr. Fison. I meant to maintain a cool and slightly reluctant distance, but...
Well, that's mine, of course. It goes with me. Oh, you can have that bit of carpet, though.
Oh, lovely. Thank you. I mean, if I decide...
Well, after you, I ain't forcing you.
The carpet was disgusting, like the pelt of some ditch-dwelling rodent. But I decided to take it if it meant getting the mill house.
Upstairs in that corner.
Sorry?
The staircase through this door.
Oh, it's like a little cupboard. I tried to stay calm about it, though I don't think Mr. Fison would have noticed if I'd done cartwheels of delight. I told him it was fairly close to what I was looking for, and that I'd take a stroll through the village to think it over.
Suit yourself.
The rest of the village was perfect, too. A beck overhung with brambles trickled by the side of the road. An old lady in an apron sat on a chair outside the village shop. I stopped for a word. The mill house wasn't condemned or anything, was it? There were no plans for motorways or power stations. Nothing like that. Nothing, she said. According to her, old Fison was a fool to swap the mill house for one of those modern boxes they were building up by the church. So?
Yes, Mr. Fison. I shall call at the estate agent this afternoon.
Oh, you want them, then?
Yes, I want him. It seems so... I mean, I can imagine myself living here. It's a kind of instinct.
If you say so.
A month later, there I was, standing in the mill house, surrounded by boxes. The first thing I did, even before unpacking, was to start work on the beam. Not very sensible, I know, but I wanted to make it my own. Ah, there. Oh, isn't that a phone not ringing? I do believe it is. Oh, paradise, this is...
paradise.
There's a box in the larder.
Oh, Mr. Fagin.
A big margarine box with coat hangers and stuff in it.
I didn't see you come in.
Well, I'd pick him up if you don't mind.
No, of course not. How's the new house?
All right. A lot less bother than this one.
Well, good. And please.
I'll just fetch that box, then. It's the last of my stuff. Anything else you find won't be nothing to do with me.
I'm not likely to find anything else, am I?
Well...
What?
I'm just saying, if you do, it won't be me that left it.
After that, I kept coming across grumpy notes which he'd left dotted about the place. There was one under a stone on the front step.
Milkman, I told you before, do not leave the red top stuff. Leave proper milk or don't leave nothing at all.
And another, folded and tucked behind the kitchen taps.
There's streaks of grease in this here sink, and that means germs.
Rather odd, I thought, to leave yourself a note about the state of the sink. But I was just delighted to be here, on my own, surrounded by such perfect peace. The birds by day and the soft darkness at night. No curtains at the bedroom window. The duvet edged by moonlight. I felt completely safe. Until... Early one morning, I heard someone or something moving about downstairs. Oh, a cat, I thought, or a fox, stolen in to investigate the remnants of my supper. Or an intruder. I cowered for a bit, hoping it would go away, but it didn't. So I took Dad's old cricket bat from the top of the wardrobe and crept downstairs.
Oh, there you are.
A plump woman in a woolly hat. Her arm was in the sink.
I was wondering when you'd show up.
What are you doing in my kitchen?
Cleaning, of course. You haven't seen my Pinny, have you?
What?
He lives on oak on the pantry door. I bet that miserable old tow rag took it with him.
Who are you?
He had no business to. He weren't his, and he knows it. I'm Mrs. Sharp.
Who?
The cleaner.
Cleaner?
That's right.
Well, I haven't got a cleaner.
Of course you have, my dear. I haven't got no cleaner.
Look, I think there's been some sort of mistake.
You bought the place, didn't you?
Well, yes, of course.
I mean... You ain't a guest, are you?
No, but I...
I do for you, same as I always done for old Misery Guts.
But you're Mr. Fison's cleaner.
That's right.
But he's gone. He's moved.
Up the village, I know. But it's the cottage I come for, not him. And it still needs looking after, don't it?
Well, I suppose so.
So that's what I'm doing. In fact, it'll be a sight easier without that streak of tribulation under my feet. You haven't seen him, have you?
Who?
My Penny.
I took a coffee into the garden and let her finish. I'd have to explain, of course, that I didn't need a cleaner. Didn't want one, in fact. But when I went back in, she'd embarked on something else. Cooking, possibly. You couldn't always tell with Mrs. Sharp. Mr. Sharp?
You're a bit low on ingredients. When do you sharp?
I haven't really thought about it.
Wednesdays would suit best.
Mrs. Sharp, I ought to say... I mean, you really need to know...
That's
that
all right. I already do.
You do?
Of course I do. I wouldn't rule out without finding out about you first, would I?
No, I didn't...
You never know what you might be letting yourself in for. It's Antonia, ain't it?
Well, yes, it is.
You worked in some sort of a bank, didn't you?
Well, I did, but I decided to work from home and...
Of course, I'd normally expect references.
References?
But I'm prepared to take the risk just this once. Now, if you don't mind, I have to get on.
No, the thing is...
I like the kitchen to myself, see?
Right. I'll go and have a bath then.
That's right. You won't be expecting no miracles, I hope.
Sorry?
With these here ingredients. It'll be a bit basic, but that won't be my fault.
When I returned to the kitchen at about 10:30, she'd gone. There was a note propped against a milk bottle.
Pie cooling in larder. No sign of Penny. I'll need one next time. Dolly Padgett has some at the shop. But don't let her sell you one with flowers on. I can only work in stripes. Gladys Sharp.
So, I bought the pinny. Which was weak of me, I know it was, but she seemed so much in her element in the cottage. And, after all, she'd been looking after it for years. She told me that herself the next time she came, so, in a way, it would have been hard to take it away from her. Wouldn't it? So I thought, well, here, let's see how it goes. See how we get on together.
I'm sure we'll go along fine, as long as you keep out of my dust.
Well, my dust is strictly speaking, Mr. Sharp.
You don't want to keep it, do you?
No,
well, then. Besides, it's mine when I'm actually sweeping it up, ain't it?
Mind your feet. Good.
So that's settled, then, is it?
I think so, except...
What?
Well, I would quite like my keys back, in case, you know, in case, well,
I ain't got your keys.
You must have. How did you get in?
With my keys.
But I
had them cut, so they're mine.
Yes, but it's my door, and I really do think...
You don't want to worry about that. Matter of fact, I don't know what you're fretting about altogether. I really don't. I ain't going to leave you in the lurch.
Of course not.
I never left Jim, did I? And he would have driven a saint to slaughter.
Well, Mr. Fison?
Which I'm not saying that's what I am. I have my faults, but I stuck to my post.
He didn't get on then?
No one does. Not with them. Wicked old devil. There's a streak of something foreign in him. I shouldn't be surprised. Too keen on his own way. You've seen that haircut of his, like a painted spud when he takes that hat off. Does it make you want to laugh in his face?
Well,
I bet you couldn't hardly stop yourself, could you? And moan? I never knew anyone with his capacity for moaning. He'd depress a newborn lamb, that man would, just by looking at it.
For the next 15 minutes, she ran through a whole catalogue of Mr. Fison's failings, grasping hold of the broom as if she had the poor man by the neck.
So I reckon you're right about that. We didn't get on. But I weren't the only one, not by a long chalk. You've got the wrong curtains up in here, if you don't mind my mentioning. By rights, these are the bedroom curtains.
For the rest of the afternoon, I couldn't help glancing at the curtains, wondering whether to take them down. I didn't, of course. It was my cottage, not hers. A couple of days later, I ran into Mr. Fison at the village shop.
Oh, Mr. Fison.
I can't stop. I just come down for some bread.
Yes, of course. I just wanted to ask you about...
What?
About Mrs. Sharp.
Oh, where?
Oh, she cleaned for you, apparently.
Wouldn't call it cleaning. Moved the dirt around more like, then charged me for doing it.
But she seems to think she's my cleaner now.
Ah, well, that don't surprise me. She's like a dog with a rat, that woman. When there's something she wants.
You didn't say anything to her, did you, about carrying on at the mill house?
No, I didn't. I never said nothing to the old bag unless I have to.
The thing is, you see, I don't actually want a cleaner.
That won't stop her. She'd take pleasure in beggaring up people's lives. Baked anything for you, yeah, has she?
She made me a pie.
Don't eat it, that's my advice. I would sometimes just to stop her moaning. But it were never nice and I always regretted it. She knew it and all. She used to stand there and watch me with a terrible twisted smile on her fat face. You understand as you mean to go on.
There was no stopping him. I'd always thought of him as a man of few words, but on the subject of Mrs. Sharp, he seemed to take on the mantle of Oscar Wilde.
Give her the boot while you've got the chance. Don't try reasoning, she don't understand it. Just boot her straight down that path. And do it now, or she'll be on you like a leech. You've seen the African Queen?
Yes.
Well then.
Don't you find it a bit dark in here, Mrs. Sharp?
No.
With the curtains drawn and the windows closed.
Don't open them. Oh. The draught will go straight to my kidneys.
But...
And you have to have the curtains closed. It'll bleed the colour out of that mat otherwise.
I can hardly see them.
You'll get used to it. She sold you that big bag of raisins, didn't she, at the shop? I thought she might try that one on.
Mrs. Sharp, we have to talk.
Did she show you the smaller bags? I bet she didn't.
Mrs. Sharp...
Still, you'll know next time.
Well, there might not be here next time.
You have to shop, don't you, girl?
Not for raisins. I didn't want raisins in the first place.
I'm the one who has to cook, though, ain't I?
But this is what I'm saying. I'm not sure that's actually what I want.
Why on earth not?
Because I've been thinking. It's a matter of privacy, really, which I value highly. Rather more than I do help with cleaning and things, in fact.
I see. And what's brought all this on?
Well, I'm very sorry, Mrs. Sharp, but I did come down here to be on my own. And
you are, though, ain't you?
Well, I didn't actually employ you, did I?
You didn't have to. I was already here. So I have standing rights.
Standing rights?
Exactly.
Look, I can honestly say it's nothing to do with the quality of your work.
I should hope not. I've had no complaints before.
Didn't you? I mean, I thought, you know, Mr. Fison...
He don't count.
Well, anyway, I intend to pay you, so you needn't worry about that, for a month, say, while you, you know, look for somewhere else.
Pay me for doing nothing?
I thought that would be fairest, yes.
No, thank you. I never took charity, and I don't intend to start now.
Which I took to mean she wouldn't want paying. It didn't. It meant she had no intention of leaving. She simply carried on as if I'd never said a word. Sealing the windows and closing the curtains, bashing about the cottage like a poltergeist. And standing rights. What was that all about? I never heard of standing rights. Mrs. Sharp! Mrs. Sharp! What are you doing?
What's it look like? Hanging out the washing.
I don't want the washing hung out. I mean, not in the front garden anyway.
That's where the blow's coming from.
I'd rather you put it at the back.
It'll take twice as long out there. Even skimpy stuff like this.
In fact, I'd prefer to do my own washing.
This won't keep the chill out, you know.
As I tried to explain before...
It can't be comfortable.
Morning.
Look at that.
Mr. Fison.
Of all the nerve.
You let her do your washing, then.
What are you doing down here? Tear off!
I weren't talking to you.
This ain't your place no more.
It's a public lane out here. I can walk where I like.
You only come this way to be cussed.
Like I said, I weren't talking to you.
Get your hand off that gate. I love you for trespass.
Just as sour as she always was, I see.
Of course. That's why Fison sold the mill house. It was the only way he could get rid of his cleaner. And not content with merely decamping, he had to walk by the cottage and shout abuse at her over the gate. In fact, it became something of a routine with him, and Mrs. Sharp always happened to be in the garden to receive him. So, I'd open my front door in the mornings and...
Funny smell in here.
There weren't before you showed up.
Is that old Craddock out muck spreading, I wonder? Or is that you cooking again?
Clear up! Or take that walking stick and shove it up your...
Oh. Hopeless. Not a day went by without the pair of them squawking at each other like bad-tempered parrots, and this was supposed to be paradise. I had to take matters in hand. I had to do something about it.
Mrs. Sharp! I can't get in! Hold on a minute! There, that's better. You can come in now.
Oh, what have you done? Where's the coffee table?
Outside the back door. There wasn't space for it.
There was. Of course there was. Where I had it before.
No, that didn't look right.
It's where I wanted it. And what's the sofa doing there?
Makes it more cosy if you put him there. He weren't particularly inviting the way you had him.
I had it where I wanted it, Mrs. Sharp.
Don't you like it, then?
No.
Oh.
So I'd be grateful if you moved it all back.
Oh, suit yourself. It costs you overtime, mind you.
Overtime?
Well, it's bound to, isn't it? Oh, by the way... Yeah.
What's this?
You was going on about spare keys.
But these are copies.
I know. I had them made up in town. So don't say I never do nothing for you.
The month's notice I thought I'd given her drew towards its close, and she was still there, immovable. Impervious, dug in, and tightening her grip on all aspects of my life.
Nearly 10 o'clock. Much later, and this'll be dinner, not breakfast.
I didn't want breakfast.
Maybe you should have said then, before I went to the trouble of cooking it.
And maybe you should have asked first.
You're the one who changed the routine, Antonia, not me. Here, you've got a postcard.
Thank you.
From that bloke in the office.
Mr. Lippitt?
Well, he signs himself Ed. He's been to Italy.
Oh, you've read it, then?
A postcard is public property. If you don't want no one else to read it, you should have put it in an envelope. Mind you, I reckon he might be doing that soon.
What? Doing what?
Making it more private. He obviously fancies you.
That's hardly your business, is it?
It is if he reckons on visiting, because that'll interfere with my arrangements, won't it? He's well off, I take it. Holidays in Italy.
Was there any more posts? I mean, perhaps you'd like to give me a rundown?
Just work stuff. What do you call it? Freelance.
Oh, and you've read those too, have you?
Of course not. You get a pension working on your own, do you? Because I got a nephew who can arrange something for you, if you like.
No, thank you.
You don't want to put it up too long, you know. You're at 60 and suddenly you can't afford cat food no more.
I haven't got a cat. And really, I think how I organise my
practice...
There he is again.
Ignore him, please.
No, witch's brew.
You want to watch out? I'm thinking of getting a dog.
No, Mrs. Sharp, you're not.
You don't need a dog face like yours.
You'll have your leg off. Just you wait and see.
Woof, woof.
It wore me down. All my protests and objections merely bounced off her. And in the end, I'm ashamed to say, I just gave up. She was battle-hardened by years of jousting with Fison, and I was no match for her.
I'm thinking of carrying out my threat.
Really?
He won't be expecting that, because I won't be able to keep it at home.
What?
I ain't got a garden big enough for his business, if you know what I mean. He'd have it covered in a week.
Mr. Fison?
No, the dog! So, I thought I'd keep him here. He can live in the old hen coop.
You're getting a dog?
I've got a cousin what's had four puppies. Reckons one of them's a bit wrong in the head. Well, that would be ideal for our purposes, wouldn't it?
Would it?
Certainly it would. Bad-tempered dog about the place. That'll soon stop old Spudhead in his tracks.
You want me to keep a dog?
No! It should be mine. But it'd just live here. Any objections?
No. A dog? No, of course not.
It's not much to ask after all I do for you.
Quite. Now go ahead. Why not?
Oh. You don't mind then?
Of course I minded. But I didn't have the will to object. I just let her get on with it. Later that afternoon, I found her heaving the microwave into the outhouse.
Oh, I can't be doing with the thing. Anyway, them gadgets aren't safe. I read about it.
Really?
I know what you're about to say, but I'm the one who had...
No, you're probably right.
Ooh.
Now, do what you like, Mrs. Sharp. Really, it doesn't bother me. And it didn't by then, because I decided to give up the unequal struggle, sell the mill house and move back to town. I assumed Mrs. Sharp would be triumphant. She wasn't. On the contrary, I came down next morning to find her sitting on the front step, staring at the car.
Mrs. Sharp, are you all right?
Me? Yes, thanks.
You look a bit down.
No. Just thinking.
Morning, Antonia.
Oh, Lord.
Got a new garden gnome, I see.
I waited for the reaction.
I shouldn't keep it on the step, though. It'll scare off your friends.
Nothing. Not a word. She just hauled herself to her feet, heaved a sigh, and went inside.
What's got into her all of a sudden?
What had got into her, I suddenly realised, was that she had been deprived of strife. What she thrived on was argument and battle. And now she had no sparring partner. If Fison had cleared off, I had given up complaining. I mean, I'd even given up trying to open the curtains. And she, poor woman, was bereft.
Morning.
Oh, morning, Mr. Fison.
What's going on, then?
Going on?
With the Sharp baggage. She don't look at all right.
Oh, no, she is, though, Mr. Fison. In fact, she's a changed woman.
I can see that.
But there's a very sweet side to her that I haven't really noticed before.
Sir?
I just told her I was going to the shop, and she said to pass on her best wishes if I saw you.
Hey?
Her very best wishes. And to say she's sorry if she ever gave you any offence.
Well, stone me.
She hadn't, of course. She barely said a word. But I had a feeling it might be worth a try. Lovely morning, Mrs. Sharp. The door open, the sun streaming through.
I'd like a word, if that's all right by you.
A word?
I don't believe this arrangement is working out.
Really? Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
Not to my satisfaction, at any rate. I have done my best.
I know, Mrs. Sharp, and I have no complaints, really.
But that just don't seem good enough for some. Besides, I've had a better offer.
Really?
It's not what I want, of course, but who would? But the old devil can't do without me.
Who can't?
He's barely got the wit to blow his own nose.
Whose nose is this exactly, Mrs. Sharp?
You've got your door open.
Oh, Mr. Fison.
So I reckon you're not up to anything private.
Well, I'm not sure. Mrs. Sharp was just telling me about...
Just? Ain't you told her yet?
I was just doing it when you came barging in.
You had all morning. What's the matter with you?
Manners of a pig and not so handsome.
You know something of this, do you, Mr. Fison?
Well, of course I do. Come on, then, if you're coming. I ain't got all day.
All right. I have to get my things, don't I?
Well, don't just stand there yakking. Go and get them.
Don't offer to fetch them for me, then, will you?
She ain't all there. I expect you've seen that by now.
Well, I wouldn't say.
No, she ain't. I don't want her back. Of course I don't. But I understand her funny ways, you see.
She's going back to you.
Oh, it's out of pity, really. She needs watching.
Right. I got me back.
Bag and baggage.
You gonna carry him for me, need I ask?
That I ain't. Go on, shift your carcass.
I'm sorry to abandon you like this, Antonia. Mm. I was trying to tell you before our misery got the abarged end.
She knows. I told her myself. Now get moving.
And out of the mill house they went. Up the path and out of my life.
It'll take the best part of a week to clear the filth you've been stewing in. I hope you realise that.
The only filth up there is what you bring yourself.
Bye!
Oh, a little light on the place, I think. Yes, lovely. And yes, the window's open. Oh, paradise.
In Paradise by Nick Warburton, Amanda Root was Antonia, Liz Smith was Mrs. Sharp, and George Baker was Fison. The director was Peter Kavanagh.